Okay, Bruchem Aboyim to everyone. This is the 20th, and it could possibly be the concluding shiur in the series of 20 lectures on the creation part of the Guide for Plex of the Million of Bruchem. I want to give Mazel Tov to my son Yaakov on his engagement tonight from this undisclosed place in Yerushalayim. And he and Rachel should be zeichet to build the bais down in Yisrael, and all the brachas that are should be chal. And this year we should go a long way towards helping me afford the chasidah. Okay, fine. Anyway, so I encourage you to all. In any case, let's go further. In the last shia, we discussed the fact that the Ram understands that the accounts that take place in Genesis and Bereishis are not to be only understood literally, but actually expressions of philosophical concepts of man, humanity. And the Rambam's going to go forward with this and go through several of the stories in Bereishis. He's now going to speak about the Nachash, the serpent, the snake, the Chet of Adam HaRishon. We're on page 368, the last paragraph of the Schwartz edition. Which you have to know. It's interesting, the Rambam's lesson is always, you have to know, meaning don't think that all these stories, when taken literally, mean that the Torah is forcing us to buy stories which run contrary to natural law, but rather the Torah is conveying deeper philosophical concepts. What you have to know, Mashiv Hiru b'Midrash, this is discussed by in Midrash. That the Nachash was an animal that you ride on. Gamal, the size of a camel. And the person riding the camel, the person riding the Nachash was the size of the camel, is the person who seduced Chava. And the Reuches was Samael, right, who is the expression for the Satan. Okay? Shem Zehem Neisim LaSatan. This name is given to the Satan. This name refers to the Satan. Hem Oibrim B'mispa Mekoymish HaSatan Rotsa L'Achshilas Ovim Avino. Chazal say in several places the Satan tried to entice Ovim Avino. Kedei Shelo Ya'ane L'Hakiv HaZitzchak. Said he should not come to slaughter Yitzchak. In other words, the Satan is a person, the Satan is trying to tempt the Avraham Avinu into deviating from the Word of God. He wanted actually to try to get Yitzchak not to listen to his father. And respect to the Akedah, they say, the Satan comes from Avinu and says, the son that Kadosh Baruch Hu has given you for 100 years is going to come to slaughter him. His balach ha'ifush is Samael ha'satan. We see clearly that Samael is a satan. Gam shizah hu bishvil inyan. Kishem shishem ha'nachash bishvil inyan. What means bishvil inyan? In other words, basically, Maisa Bereish is coming to tell us something about man's temptation, the Yetzirah. We should understand it as a literal statement. It's coming to tell us about the Yetzirah. They said regarding his enticement of Chava, hayasama reichiv allah v'akash bochu soichik al gomu v'reichvay. In other words, basically, that we shouldn't understand that the story is once again is to be understood kipshuta, but rather the story is coming to tell us a general law that man is always tempted by his evil inclination with respect to every tzivui Hashem, every command of God, and this begins with Chava. We should really pay attention to, says the Rambam. He didn't speak to them at all. He turned only to Chava. And through Chava, Adam was right, was damaged. The insafek shazara huzera adam, right? Muflah his kashrus anachash and chava. This connection with chava and the nachash. כלי בזר או בזר הראש ועקב ויוסר גובר אז עלה בראש ועוד הוא גובר עלה בעקב זה איפה בוא גם כן. Now what's the Rambam saying over here? Why is he, in other words, and he seems to be emphasizing this. I think, really, what the Rambam seems to be saying is that the Eitzah Hara, right? In other words, what the Rambam seems to be saying is that the Eitzah Hara is not a person in a certain sense. The Eitzah Hara is not an intrinsic part of the person. That's not what he's saying. In other words, the Eitzah Hara comes from without. In other words, through a person's seichel, through his intellect, a person can overcome the Eitzah Hara. Now, why would this be true? Why would I say it's true of the Rambam? Because if you remember the Rambam, the Rambam's understanding of the Chet of Beit Hadas, we should remember because we didn't begin with that. But nonetheless, the Rambam in Chelek Aleph, I believe in Perek Beis, where he discusses the Chet of the Barishan, the Rambam understands that man initially was created just with a theoretical intellect. In other words, man was created with Tzelem Elokim, with a theoretical intellect. In other words, he wasn't affected by what we call a Yetzer Hara. Man only knew true and false, things which can, theoretical things. After the Yitzhak Yetzer Das,
where is that?
In Perek Beis of Chelek Aleph. After Yitzhak Yetzer Das, the man already comes to, you know, to be aware of good and bad, etc., etc. In other words, according to the Rambam, man is not a person who is born from, you know, initial sin. Man, primarily or fundamentally, is someone who's equipped to overcome his material desires in order to have knowledge of theoretical things. It's just that what? Just that, man, in other words, since after Chet Beis Hadas, man, you know, came to know of, you know, of temptations, of things which are not theoretical, but of good and evil. But this is not an inherent part of man. In other words, man is able to achieve a theoretical, a conceptual knowledge of God, of truth. What? No, it doesn't make a difference. No, I don't think it makes a difference. But I want to say, so what is this? I want to claim this is in contradiction to Christianity. And that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam in the next paragraph brings the famous Baruch of Chazal, which is the Jewish Bekor for original sin. Because the paragraph says, "Yetis ben amilas amuflois gamata oy mila pat ilo beguda b'yaisa." Because she tovin is pirkei asev azeh havas amizis t'pal mechok bas moshel zev v'tamis the metzias vud devolim. In other words, she really understands this moshel. B'shabar nachash alcha v'hitel basahuma. Yisrael she'omdu l'hasinai pasku zu moshel. Goyim she'omdu l'hasinai lo pasku zu moshel. Shkol eifu b'tasla gam ezois. In other words, what is the Rambam saying? In other words, first of all, part and parcel of Christian theology is to regard an essential part of man is his Yetzer Hara. In other words, in fact, that's what Chazal is saying, right? Through the Torah, man's Yetzer Hara is something that can be overcome. In other words, man is able to connect intellectually with God through his theoretical knowledge, right? And this is of the Rishon before the Chet. Christianity understands man as being necessarily mired in his Yetzer Hara, in sin, right? The only person who can save man from sin is Oisai Ish, Jesus. That's why, in fact, the New Testament understands, in fact, actually, the entire account of creation as really being a metaphor for the fall of man, who eventually can only achieve salvation through Jesus. This is in contradiction to Judaism that claims that through man's connection with intellectual truth, right, which is, in fact, man's original nature, right? Man can bypass, you know, his own physicality. So, my opinion is that this is what the Rambam here is referring to. That, in fact, I see the Yetzer Hara is something which is outside of man. It enticed Chava, didn't touch Adam. Man, right, can achieve intellectual truth. and he's not tied down by his Yetzirah. This is the Jewish conception of things, as opposed to the Christian conception of things that looks at men as being marred. And that's what he brings here, this Gemara on Shabbos and Daf Kuf Mem Vav, that the Goyim loy paskus l'shul nachash, which means actually what Chazal are really saying, in my opinion, I've always said this, that actually, that Chazal is saying the Christians' original sin is really shitasa, because they're really right. Chazal are giving a haskama to original sin, as far as the Goyim are concerned. Anyway, yeah.
Something, even Yisrael
outside,
what does that mean? The
Rambam
of Great
Rations,
how do you understand that?
Oh, no, in other words, a person can remove himself from it. In other words, a person can extricate himself from the Yetzer Hara, because it's really outside of a person. In other words, if the Yetzer Hara was a part of a person, then a person can get out of the Yetzer Hara. You know, there's a very famous machlokes between the Altov Slobodka and the Chazon Ish. Did I ever speak about this? What? Ah, right. In other words, the Adler Slobodka in Chelek Beis of Orat Sofon, it's good that I didn't know this. In the Orat Sofon, the Adler Slobodka based himself on the Pasuk of Sheichat. It's interesting that that the Michtam Eliyahu says Kimat the same Vort, the same Raiz, doesn't even quote the Adler once. I'm a little bit surprised. Maybe he didn't see the Orat Sofon. But in any case, the altar brings the pasuk of Sheichat, right? Ya'ave eni chachabim, sa'v to tzadikim. And the altar, in Parshas Toldos, Chelek Beis of Orat Sofon, has a very interesting arichos on the concept that man, by definition, is riddled with negia. There's kemat nothing a person does, acts, says, or thinks without some type of a negia. Ad kedei kach. In fact, he says in this pasuk, the Torah is being megala. The Torah is revealing the psychological structure, the psyche of man. That, in fact, in other words, Sheichat is really only a gili milsa, a revelation of the basic character of man, which is in fact riddled fundamentally with negia, man. Does not do anything without any type of a negia, a vested interest, an agenda. And says the Alter, he even brings a medrash, I think in Parshas Toldos, that Yitzchak gave the brachas to Esav Kitzayid the fifth, and the medrash implies that even Yitzchak Avinu, of course the Alter says, we can't, the obvious, Akdashim, in our terms we can't understand this, but after everything's said and done, Yitzchak in fact gave the brachas to Esav, because Esav was sad him. Captured him, befiv, which means by giving him food, there was a negiah of Yitzchak, the bracha. So comes the altar and says, of course, how do we get rid of our negiahs? Only through limud ha-musa. The point of the altar is that no person can possibly come to intellectual truth, because a person is inherently riddled with negiah, with agendas. Only through limud ha-musa can a person strip himself of this and, come to a more objective view of things. Now, the Chazon Ish in Amunah B'Tochei, which is a real attack on the Bali Musa from beginning to end. In fact, even the personal parts were actually omitted from the Sefer. The Chazon Ish says that this is the destruction, of all Torah, of all Limud HaTorah. Says the Chazon Ish, he says there's a machla, there's a disease in the world, it's called the Gia, and says the Chazon Ish, this is Matal Doifi, the Tamni Chachamim. The Chazon Ish says on this Shita, the altar, just about what the Nafsh HaChaim says on the Shita of the Balatanya. It's the destruction, it's the destruction of the foundations, because that's the Chazon Ish. The entire halacha and Torah is based upon the fact that the Chacham could come to an objective halachic a decision. And says the Chazon Ish, interesting, says the Chazon Ish, if that's true, and he brings many cases in the, Chazon Ish brings, cases in the halacha where, Adam Roy and Nagia Liatzmoy, Negaliatzmoy. I mean, there are many cases in Shulchan Aruch where we see that Nagia doesn't, is not a factor. Says the Chazon Ish, interesting, says the Chazon Ish, but what about the Pasuk? Loisi Kach Sheichat. So here the Chazon Ish become very, very much Reb Chaim Volozhinatik. He says that Istako Bereisa Boa Abba Kashbol of the Torah, and so that says in the Torah, the person's like Sheichat will have a Nagia, but he takes it only when he takes Sheichat will he have a Nagia. A real brisker limud in the pasuk. In other words, basically, what is the dispute, the machlokes between the Chazanish and the Alter? Very cool. According to the Alter, the Torah is post-creation. The Torah comes to megalit me on creation, right? I look at the Torah and I discover Freud, right? Lebaisa, according to that, why learn the Torah? Just learn Freud. Lebaisa, that's what the Bali Moshe really did. But in fact is that, that's what they still do. What I'm saying is that, according to the Chazanish, it's exactly the opposite. First I look at the Torah, then I look at the world. The Torah doesn't tell me anything about the world. The Torah, you know, halachic man is the pre-ontological conceptual system which categorizes our halachic, you know, concepts, and by this we, you know, we rule in the world. So that's the machlokes in the Chazanish. But what I'm saying is, the Rambam is famous in the Chazanish. And the author sounds like a Christian. Anyway, that's what I have to say. But let's go further. Mashachayev Ataladas. I'm on page 369, the last three lines.
Right. I'm not clear. If I wants to know how
does it relate to the Rambam?
How does Rambam
That's a good question.
Explain the Satan external to a person? What does the Satan look like for the Rambam?
No, the Satan is the Yetzer Hara. It doesn't look like anything.
But it's external to a person, so what is it?
External, it's that inherent part of the person. The Chazanish says, when a person learns Torah, why the Negiah is not an inherent part of the person. It's something outside the person. A person can choose to have a Negiah.
Yetzer Hara means Negiah for the Rambam?
Well, it's an example of that. A Yetzer Hara means anything, according to the Rambam, anything which diverts a person from truth is called the Yetzer Hara. That's the Rambam in Perek Beis, in Chelek Aleph. So the Negiah too is something which diverts a person from truth. I was just using it as a mashal.
But it's riding on a horse over here.
Riding on the horse.
Riding on Nachash, it looks like a camel.
Right, in other words, because he wants to say, because the Chazanish wants to say, that don't think the Nachash is the Yetzer Hara, animals don't have Yetzer Hara, it's a person. So the Satan is riding on the Nachash. So what the Chazanish wants to say, what Chazal is trying to say to us, right, is that don't believe the stupid this story with a serpent and a woman and this and that. It's a person. But the person is really a mushal, a metaphor for the Yetzer Hara, which is outside the person. That's what the Chazanish is saying. Because what the Chazanish wants to say is, what?
Rambam said.
Yeah. Okay. Mimai Shechaim Ataladas. Okay? Three lines, the last three lines of page 369 in the short edition. Mimai Shechaim Ataladas, Shem Omru Eitzachayim Mahala Chamish Meil Shana V'chol Meimei Breishim Mispalga Mitachtav. Okay? This tremendous tree that takes, I don't know, 500 years. And all the waters come out of it. If you speaking about the thickness. In other words, what are they coming? In other words, what he wants to say is we shouldn't understand it literally. Right? But the saying was very, very thick. In other words, basically, right? What? In other words, once again, let's go back again. The first statement in Bereishis, he says the Eitz HaChayim is. Like a 500, it has a thickness or width of 500 years, and all the waters of Bereishis comes out of it. So he says he's speaking about the thickness of the bark, not how much the trunk, right, and not how much the leaves go out. And right now he says ubi akayrasi ubi gizoy hanitzav. What are they saying? What are they coming to say here? I think what they're coming to say is that the Eitz HaDaas is like a. In other words, what they're coming to say is the trunk is a trunk of a tree is something which is like something which is natural, rooted in something. No, that's the trunk. I think what they want to say over here, what the Rambam wants to say, right? Right, it's coming to go on the same thing as before. Is what to say is that there are certain things which are rooted in the natural world. In other words, other words, the yetzer of man is rooted in the natural world. In other words, and that's the trunk. The trunk is the more physical thing. In other words, this is coming to extend the discussion here of the nature of man. And then when he says, right, right? And he didn't reveal the tree to anyone, will not reveal it to us. In other words, basically, what he's saying to is, we shouldn't take it literally. Logila, because Boch Oisa'ila means God never showed the tree to anybody. Why? Because it doesn't exist. It's a metaphor. The whole thing's a metaphor. Don't take it seriously. Seriously. You take it seriously, but don't take it literally. So first he brings the Medrash, which says the trunk is, I don't know, thickness of the trunk. And then he says, but because Boch never showed the tree to anybody. You ever see a tree that has a trunk thick that would take 500 years to walk through it? So the Rambam says, Kodesh Baruch Hu never showed it to anybody. Why? Because it's not literally in nature.
Even to the mission in nature.
Yeah. Which means, what the Rambam is saying is that all these accounts of Bereishis are just to be understood as metaphors. Chazal, in fact, are telling you, don't take the Chumash literally. Mimash Shechayva Taladas goes on the Rambam further. Dibram V'yikha Hashem Elokim Es Ha'adam. It says Kodesh Baruch Hu took Adam. I guess he brought him up. He placed him down. Basically, the Medrash is not telling us, don't think that literally God picks Adam Rishon up and puts him in Gan Eden. But really, to show us that man, right, is on the pedestal of creation. Man occupies a higher role within the natural world. But you shouldn't think that it means that Kodesh Baruch Hu picked man up and put him in Gan Eden. Okay, so in other words, what the Rambam is doing is that we have to, Bashatachayva Das is, don't understand the stories of Genesis in any literal fashion. The stories of Genesis are coming to, as metaphors, to tell us something about the nature of humanity. The two people are called Cain v'Hevel. Cain horages Hevel, Cain killed Hevel. Shneim kolo, both of them disappeared. Avshalom goyve nitne shehus, v'chilon nechona imtzius el l'sheit. In other words, the proper, it was only Shaitz that lasted. Kishas l'lokim zera achen. Now, what does this mean? What does this mean? If we go to Chelek Aleph, Perek Zion, the Rambam says a very, very interesting thing. The Rambam says in Perek Zion, let's begin. It says, V'yaldu lo bonim, he had children. So literally means having children. However, says the Rambam in page 41, this is Perek Zayin, it's the second paragraph. If I teach you something, right? It's like I give birth to you, says the Rambam. In other words, and this is a piece of B'nai HaNaviyim. The Rambam says that when I teach you something, he brings proofs for this, is that teaching you is a type of giving birth, procreation. Right? Based upon this, that which is said about Adam, he Adam shlosh shim umiyash shana v'yelidu b'dmutza k'tzalmai, k'var hizbalach l'fneichein, imaru mashmor tzalim alu b'dmutza. We just spoke about what's called tzalim elokim, the image of God. Mikan shikola yeladim shikob eloi lo yigil chan shtiyalei atzuh enoish b'emes. Basically, the children that came before Shaitz, who were who? Cain v'Hevel, didn't have the proper, they didn't have proper human intelligence. They didn't have proper philosophical training. Shais, the Rambam sent to university and gave him proper philosophical training. So therefore, he was Bailab at the Musai. But Cain v'Hevel, who were not given proper physical instruction, right? Says the Rambam, they're like animals. And that's what he says in the next paragraph. Mikan l'mantu shekol mishlo yigil l'chal shetiyah lo atzura azoyis. Whoever has not come to the level where he has this intellect, which is the image of God, asher b'yanu esmash musa, einu ben adam. He's not a human being, but he's an animal. Shetabnisu mita'ar etabnis ben adam mita'ar. He looks like a person, right? But really he's like an animal. And this person is evil, he's going to die away. Only Shays that had the proper philosophical training, this intellect was developed, was able to have proper tzuras ha'adam. And that's what the Rambam is saying over here. The Rambam is saying over here is that basically, Cain killed Hevel. They finished it, ceased existing like animals. In other words, they're no longer human beings. It was only Shays that other than Isha, I guess, developed them intellectually, right, who is considered to have Tzadam Elokim. So the Rambam understands really the whole story of Cain and Hevel is in fact a metaphor for the consequences of faulty intellectual training, or the lack of intellectual training. Okay? In other words, language is not natural, says the Rambam. It's language is basically a skama, a language game, a Wittgenstein. It's not natural. And the Rambam says we have a right from this, because man has to give names. These are not born with names. Okay, now, what has the Rambam done? What the Rambam has done is that he's informed us that we shouldn't chas v'shalom think that the Torah is being anti-scientific, but relating it to us things which go against nature. But rather, the unnatural events of Bereishis are really metaphors which, in fact, express basic ideas in the Torah's concept of man and humanity. Now, the next paragraph is very interesting. The Rambam had no reason whatsoever to write the next paragraph. There's no thematic continuity. What's he doing here? The Rambam says there are four verbs. Yeah.
Just on the previous part, the bridge is open to interpretation. I mean, where's the Rambam getting? What's he basing his interpretation on?
He's actually where he can find a Chazal that supports him. He does, but in fact, actually, the basic things that the Rambam is basing upon on is these prokim which we've seen in the first chelek, in which the Rambam actually gives philosophical interpretation to certain psukim. Zoch and the Keva, you know, Cain and Hevel, Yoldu, etc., etc.
But Cain doesn't really die,
that's okay, is that the question, who dies, who doesn't die? But Cain, like, goes away, whatever it is. He's not Chashev anymore. Shesh is more Chashev. Cain becomes a no man.
The whole discussion where Cain.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, you're
fired. Like a dodo bird, yeah. You're fired. That's what I think. Yeah. Anyway. Okay, now, comes the Rambam. Let's a little bit summarize what's been going on here. As we spoke about actually before the class, the Rambam began Paraklamet with an exposition of creation ex nihilo, and basically did away with that very quickly meteorological understanding of nature. Basically, he undid the notion of temporal stages in creation. He's undone all the stories in Bereishis as just merely being explications of philosophical conceptions of man. And now comes the Rambam, and this paragraph really, I mean, has nothing to do with anything. I mean, the Rambam says, the last paragraph of page 370, Yimash Chavatal is Biden Boy, but you have to really think about this. Biden Boy means, right? Think about it. I want you to think about it, says the Rambam. That means that the Rambam is alerting the intelligent reader, the reader that the Rambam says to whom the Mer Nevuchim was intended. In other words, basically, there are four things which the Torah uses to describing creation. Bora asa kana v'kel. Bora lakim shemayim v'oretz. V'yoyim asa zashem lakim shemayim v'oretz. Koine shemayim v'oretz kel oilam. Okay? Now. Okay? Goes on the Rambam. speaks about different terms. I want to just go to page 371. On the fourth, on page 371. Regarding the entire creation, the Torah uses the Lashon Bara, the verb Bara. That implies creation actually alone. Okay, also refers to Tzuras. In other words, Bara refers to creation actually alone, which again is what's called Chaimah. Tzuras is asa, that could change. Kana, says the Rambam, Yisrael mishtalat alayim, Kadosh Baruch Hu takes possession of the world. Yishtal shel odel avadav, like a master, takes possession of his slave, and his slaves. V'chein unikra odon, kol ha'oretz, v'odon, u'mekevin she'ein nasa odon, el b'klash yish lo kinyan, ze noitu klapi amun b'kadmus, chayim b'kolishu, says the Rambam, the incredible statement. That kana implies katmos, because you can't take ownership of something which you want, which doesn't already exist. Mishamshim kanabito, etc., etc. A shrek. The Rambam is saying that there's actually a verb in the Chumash. We spoke about this. A verb in the Chumash, which denotes katmos. He says at the very end. By now, the non-intelligent reader has gone to sleep. This is the very end of chapter 30. And we mentioned, we already brought this, that this is a proof as to the general central thesis which I've been promoting. I'm not saying I have a negiah here, but I've been promoting this. You gotta have a negiah if it's correct. But I've been promoting this, is that in fact the Rambam did not see that there was a stira. There was a contradiction between creation ex nihilo and between eternity. And here's the proof of the pudding. The Torah itself believes in the eternity of the universe. Now, what's interesting is that we actually spoke about this when the Rambam in the beginning of chapter 13, which is going to tie together all the lectures. Well, not tie them together, but at least we're going to go in a loop. In the beginning of chapter 13, which we began 20 lectures ago, the Rambam stated that the sheet of the Torah was that the world was created ex nihilo, yesh b'yayin mehedah agama. That's what the Rambam says, total dunbi. Now, it's interesting that the Rambam, at the very, very end, the Rambam didn't bring Bereishis Bara Elokim. He didn't bring that. He brings that at the beginning of chapter 30, but the Rambam did not bring that pasuk as a proof that the world was created ex nihilo. Even though the Rambam does say in chapter 25 that he seems to imply that the pasuk is the pasuk creation ex nihilo, but it doesn't bring that as a proof. Now, what's interesting is that the Rambam says on page 298, this is the last paragraph of 298 in the Schwartz edition, the Rambam says that Zoi Achas Hadeas Vilola Sofik Ika Teres Moish Rabbeinu, this is the Teres Moish Rabbeinu, this is from the, he said, at the parentheses, Professor Schwartz puts Ika Teres Moish Rabbeinu, Usheni Li Ika Yichot, it's second to the Ika of Yichot, and the Yud Gimel Ikrim, I think it's the fourth. Don't think otherwise. Ravino all of a shalom was befasim this. L'chein kar b'shem Hashem keloilam, and then he explained this explicitly in Kinei Shemai Va'aretz. What's going on here? Kinei Shemai Va'aretz, says the Rambam at the end of chapter 30, denotes eternity. Why Kinei Shemai Va'aretz? So I believe that when we learned this, I don't even remember, I believe we learned this, I tried to imply a little bit, the Rambam was secretly stooping in his sheet that actually there's no steel between the two things. So, B'Shem Hashem Kel Oilo implies Kreshek Zilo, Kel Oilo. Oilo means God is before the world. Kainei Shemayim V'Aretz is eternity. That the Rambam was saying the two things are not a stira to each other. These are not a contradiction. Now what the Rambam was saying, according to the Rambam, and I think we can say like this, the Rambam is saying that this irreducible dichotomy, which has been the theme of the 20 lectures on the creation part of the Bina Vulcan, right, was the sheet of Avraham Avinu. It was really the sheet of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu understood that, you see, because See, if you look at Perak Aleph, it looks up in the Zohar, the Rambam says two things about Avraham Avinu. Number one, he says Avraham Avinu came to undo the paganism of his generation. But paganism just means you believe that God doesn't have a body. God not having a body, as the Rambam clearly demonstrates in chapter 1 of the second section, right, requires us to believe in eternity. But says the Rambam also, from the Beatles, to discover the Kavat Tzedek, that's ethics, that's creation ex nihilo, we've been speaking about. In other words, the first dichotomist in world history who understood fundamentally this dichotomy between ontology and ethics, between creation ex nihilo, which is human freedom, the ability to act ethically, and between monotheism, that the natural world does not, God is not manifest natural world, but above the natural world, that's Avraham Avinu. So in other words, the Rambam, by bringing the two verses, the two psukim, in chapter 13, is actually alluding to this dichotomy, which is the central theme of the chapters 13 to chapter 30, and he concludes. In other words, he concludes with this in chapter 30. So really, what is the purpose of chapter 13 and 30? To understand that there are two psukim in the Torah. One implies creation ex nihilo. One implies the eternity of the universe. And both are true. Both are written. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. And Avraham Avinu was the first person to publicize this. And the Rambam is also like Avraham Avinu. Now, how do I know that Rambam understands himself to be Avraham Avinu? Because in the very beginning of the Magen Avuchim, the Rambam begins with B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam. And Lemaisa, B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam, what? Is actually Avraham Avinu. Right? Is B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam. The Rambam, when he begins to say for B'Shem Kel Olam, says, I am, just like Avraham Avinu, I am promoting, I am reintroducing monotheism into the world. In other words, after the kilkel of the kalam, I, Moses ben Maimon, son of Maimon, am reasserting monotheism into the world. That's B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam. That's monotheism. By the way, Derech Agav, the Mishnah Torah also begins with B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam. The Rambam was also being monotheistic there. That's because if you look at the Yesodei HaTorah, it's clearly Aristotelian. But I'm saying is that the Rambam understood that he was in fact rejuvenating the monotheistic concept of this generation. That was the work of Avraham Avinu when he lived. That was the work of the Rambam in the 12th century, and that's our work. Our work in these lectures is to reintroduce monotheism into the Jewish world. Now, the fact is that with this, the Rambam, right, actually ends the sections of creation. Right? The Rambam says, Shulam Elo Yachdim Mashakodim Mashiyovo Binyan Zeh Maskipim Behetim Lamatos Asefo Behetim Lamayin Boy. Ah! Says the Rambam, these Shiurim, these passages, these chapters, together which came before, I guess I would say that what came before is actually the proofs of the incorporeality of God. Umashivo Binyan Zeh Maspeak and behetim them, but Charles is saying, if this is perfect, the first to say, or behetim the ma'ayin boy. It was basically, says the Rambam, I've written these chapters with an eye on the person to whom the sefer is meant. And that's what the Rambam concludes. After this, he speaks about Shabbos, and then in Perek Lamed Beis begins the Nevuah prophecy. So, to really conclude the Shiurim, the Rambam in creation begins with the two psukim of Avraham Avinu, and at the very end of chapter 30 he reveals to you the secret that these two psukim actually refer to two opposite opinions of the creation of the world. That's the subtle, not so subtle, but sufficiently subtle message of the Magen Avuchim. Okay, now what I wanted to speak about a little bit now is where does creation fit into the entire Magen Avuchim? Because we've remarked that there are three sections of the Magen Avuchim. There's section 1, section 2, and section 3. That's usually the reason when there's three sections. But Leo Strauss says he doesn't understand how the Rambam divide up the section. Leo Strauss claims the section divide up randomly. But I say, Strauss doesn't know what he's talking about. Section 1 is Sumera. Section 1 is Sumera. The Rambam is telling us how to read the Pesukim. Don't read the Pesukim literally. Don't read the Pesukim in any way that would imply any type of anthropomorphic image of God. And section 1, of course, ends with negative theology and attack on the Kalam. Now that's called Sumera. Stay away from Avodah Zarah. Section 2 is Asetov. Proofs that God is incorporeal. Right? The section of creation is how the Rambam is striving to reconcile creation ex nihilo with monotheism. In other words, section 1 is don't be a paganist. Section 2 is be a monotheist. The passage of creation is don't think that if you believe in creation ex nihilo, you're compromising your monotheism. But that's irreducible dichotomy. Okay? Now, the next part is going to be the section on Nevoah. Now, so, according to what I'm saying, the Rambam is going to have to reconcile Nevoah with monotheism. In other words, once I tell you to be a monotheist, you have to reconcile your creationist opinions with monotheism, and now you have to reconcile Nevoah with monotheism. And that's going to be a very important thing. And that's what the Rambam begins, that does, in the section of Nevoah. And we're not going to, we don't have time to go, obviously we don't have time to go into today. And then, that's section 2. Now really, what's section 3? Section 3 begins with Ma'aseh Merkavah. And that's what the Rambam said. The Rambam said that the purpose of the Ma'aseh Merkavah is to reveal the secrets, Ma'aseh Merkavah, etc., etc. And, so evidently, right? Sumera Asetov. I'm not sure what the third section is. Third section, he claims that he's revealing Ma'aseh Merkavah. Then he goes into Ora the Tamia Mitzvahs, which actually continues the entire end of the third section. But what I wanted to say is that the chapters of creation, in light of this structure, are coming to reconcile creation ex nihilo with monotheism. That's the important thing. Asetov, don't think that if you believe in creation ex nihilo, it means that you have to give in on monotheism. That's what the Rambam is saying. It's contradictions, but that's the message to the intelligent reader. The unintelligent reader is supposed to think that, you know, we go by Messiah, and we have to favor Teres Moshe over Aristotle, and because of that, the person can believe the world's created ex nihilo. The intelligent reader has to read, understand it's not a contradiction. And then there's Nevoah. So basically, how this ends these series of shiurim on the Megillah Nevuchim, on the section of creation. I want to basically summarize a little bit what we've done in a general way. I mentioned, it's been a long time ago, is that the Rambam says explicitly in his introduction that he's going to contradict himself. And finding these contradictions has constituted the holy grail of every Maimonidean scholar. I think as one Jewish scholar says, I think most of Jewish studies is really trying to understand what the Rambam was doing in the Ma'ariv Nevuchim. And of course, throughout the ages, different people had different agendas in the Ma'ariv Nevuchim. I mean, the rationalist commentators like Moshe Naboni, Shem Tov, Akreskas, who themselves were Aristotelians, understood that really what the Rambam is saying is that people can believe in creation ex nihilo or in the Torah, but really the secret truth of the Torah is Aristotle, and basically that the intelligent reader should understand that the Torah's basic message is the philosophy of Aristotle. That's the Shem Tov Afudi and the classical rationalist medieval commentators. The modern scholars, beginning with what's his name, Shadal, but culminating with Strauss, Pinnus to Strauss, understood that basically The Marna Vulchem is crowd control. The Rambam is giving opium to the masses and telling them, oh, everything's fine, don't worry, right? We've schlugged up all the philosophers, you can rest in peace, you can be from. And the secret message of the Rambam is basically none of this makes sense, and that there's no way that a person can reconcile modern or philosophical thought with the Torah, and the Rambam is just one up because. That's Strauss. Now Strauss himself was, I think Strauss probably found the same thing too. In other words, Strauss understands the Rambam's being political. It's crowd control. The masses have to believe they can go to sleep at night, everything's biyusha, we've solved all the problems, but in fact the secret message is that there's no way to reconcile, the Torah, the Chumash and the Torah basically cannot be reconciled with any type of rational thought, and that's the opinion of Strauss. So in other words, the difference then between Strauss and these medieval rational commentators was the medieval commentators understood that there's a secret message of the Marna Vulchem, this external message and an internal message. But in other words, not that one is true and one is false. Well, one is, for the Hamoinam, and one is for the philosophers, but they're both Torah philosophies. For Strauss, one thing is wrong, one thing is right. In other words, the Torah is wrong, philosophy is right. But Rabin was hiding the truth. People should think the Torah is right, but the Torah is really wrong. Now, our stance has been nothing like that. The Rambam doesn't say anywhere in his introduction that he's going to contradict himself that one statement is going to be wrong, one statement is right. He just says that two statements from different perspectives can be contradictory. Our opinion is that the Rambam was expressing sophisticated ideas, which, in fact, they weren't part and parcel of the theology and philosophy of his time. The type of dichotomies that we've spoken about weren't part and parcel of the theology of his time. Not to mention the fact that they were extremely complicated, extremely subtle, and the Hamanam might think that things were hopelessly too complicated, and the Hamanam basically has to be understood things on a much simpler level. But the secret message of the Marna Vulchem is that Baruch Hashem, right, that Torah concepts are complicated, they're sophisticated, but in other words, they're not consistent, but they're not wrong. The inconsistency is also a philosophical concept, which, when trying to understand God and His creation, has to be invoked. And necessarily, God is infinite, man is finite, then man cannot close the circle and incorporate divine knowledge within one conceptual scheme. It will necessarily appear as contradictions. And that's really the message of the Marna Vulchem. I don't want to be a balgaiva to claim I've gotten things right, but I think I've gotten things right. And I think this is the proper Torah Hashkafa that the Rambam was trying to communicate, and as we see many places. So in other words, the point of the classes were not only to present the Rambam's opinions about creation, but really as an exercise in trying to understand the methodology of the Rambam, that Chas v'Shalom, he wasn't trying to hide something which wasn't true, but was trying to just present things in a manner where the less intelligent people would understand it on a more simple level, but the more sophisticated people understand that things are not as simple as they are. That doesn't necessarily mean that a person loses a mudah. Just a person has to be mature enough to understand a Kodesh Baruch Hu is sometimes a little more than just being very, very simple. And that's the message to this audience, is that a person, hafakpah, that a person should understand that hashkafah is not a simple thing. For sure, hashkafah when speaking about God, we can't make God into a person who's not necessarily intelligent, who's unintelligent. I was giving a class today on the Yukim Likrim. So one of the students was asking me, yeah, but what about all these drushes that a person's brilliant that makes him go off the derech, like Doyeg HaDoymi and Achitayfo. And I said, Just because someone gives you a drasha, that someone is brilliant, it goes with the derech, doesn't mean the message, what's the message? You're supposed to be stupid. No. You're supposed to be brilliant and on the derech. Right? It's like I have an uncle who's I say hello to my uncle Sai, who was a professor at Harvard. Was once interviewed by Mark Wallace in 60 Minutes, I think during the Warren Court, right? Warren Court. It was a famous court, the justice. It was basically Lama Ovitz, World Warren. So they asked, my uncle had a criticism that he didn't understand law. So Mark Wallace asked my uncle, does that mean the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court has to be a brilliant legal scholar? So my uncle says, does it hurt? So, in other words, the fact is that, right, all these drushes are saying is that being brilliant doesn't necessarily mean that you have the truth. But it doesn't mean that in order to have the truth, you have to be stupid. You can also be smart and have the truth, too. So, in anyways, that's our closing lines and busa to these shiurim. Emir Tashem, if you enjoy these very, very much, you will look forward and help be mechazek other parts of the Mar Nevuchim. Until then, everybody, kol tov.